episode 493 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Valiant Sunday episode. I'm continuing the chronology. I'm going to be talking about Exo Manowar number 6 from the creative team of writer Robert Venditti. We've got Lee Garbett on pencils, inks by Stefano Guadiano, and colors by Moose Bauman with Dave Lamphere on letters. So when we finished up last episode of the chronology talking about Exo 5, we saw that Ninjak had snuck up on Arik in the rainforest of Peru and managed to drug him. And when Arik went to put on the armor, he basically passed out. So this issue picks up right where that left off. And we see Alexander Dorian still tied up to the tree, asking Ninjak what he did. Is he dead? And Ninjak replies, no, the Shuriken just injected him with a tranquilizer. He'll nap for long enough to be loaded on the transport. He's bigger than the target dummies I practice on, about as smart too. So clearly Ninjak does not have a high opinion of Arik to start. So Dorian wants to know who Ninjak is, and I'm kind of surprising that he volunteers information so easily. So I'm Ninjak, contracted by British intelligence. So immediately Alexander Dorian knows what that means, right? Because again, the head of the MI6 currently is a Vine plantling. His name's Patrick Clement. And Ninjak said, yes, I was hired by Patrick Clement. Clean up the mess after your mission failed. MI6 thinks you're dead, by the way. And Ninjak cuts him free. And Dorian explains that there's no other prisoners. The special ops team got taken out in a matter of minutes, which Ninjak said, yeah, how did you manage to survive? And Dorian says, well, he wanted to interrogate me. I consult for Clement. My name's Alexander Dorian. And so Ninjak says, okay, what can you tell me about this armor? And Dorian doesn't give all the information that he has. He just says it's an advanced body armor. Don't really know where it came from, and it showed up out of nowhere a few days ago, and showed up in Rome, and it was used to attack in the Colosseum. And Ninjak says, yeah, you know, I know that. Do you have anything useful to add, having witnessed the armor in action? And again, Dorian, you know, hedging his bet, says, you know, all I can say is it represents an exponential leap forward in weapons tech. And Ninjak says, well, from what I saw, it was responding to him without any kind of remote that he could see. So he's assuming there must be some kind of remote implanted in Arik somewhere. So he summons his stealth jet, and they load Arik and the armor aboard. And Ninjak says they should be in London by nightfall. Arik is chained or cuffed to a table in the back. He's got a gas mask on, keeping him sedated. And Dorian takes the opportunity to close his eyes and communicate with the Vine, as we've seen in the previous couple issues, communicating over vast distances telepathically. And the council's surprised to see him and says, we thought because of your absence, you were killed. We don't enjoy being kept in the dark. And Dorian's response is, well, I was laying in a ditch being tortured for the last 2 days. Not the most, accommodating circumstances to try to communicate. So the council asks after the mission. It says, yes, we've captured the armor as well as the human slave who stole it. And the council is very pleased and said, okay, after the invasion force completes its mission, you and the rest of the Earth plantlings will celebrate with us on Loam. Dorian's very surprised by it. He's like, you still plan on invading? Why not just send a ship, get the armor, and, Shanhara is safe, no damage done. And the other plantlings, Clement, particularly, who's there, says, we're not to question the council's decision. And Alexander Dorian's response is, I'm trying to avert the annihilation of the human race. We've spent years, 16 centuries, cultivating Earth. It's a place where the Vine can thrive if need be. There's no reason to throw it away over one unruly Visigoth. And head of the council says, it's not the Visigoth that concerns us. It's already that the talk is reaching the council chamber, rumblings from the priest about what this recent event means. you know, we've sacrificed thousands of soldiers over the years to Shannara. It's never chose to bond, and now it chooses to bond with a human. So we really need to quash this. It's a threat to our existence, right? Power that we've bent our will to keep from being discovered, and now Shannara has bonded with this human, and its consciousness is able to is strengthening, basically, and the bond is strengthening. So Dorian says, well, that's fine. I can sever the bond. I'll kill the human. He's unconscious. And the council says, no, we have plans for the human. And besides, images of Shannara have been seen all over the earth. So the vine's no longer secret there. So sadly, the planet is lost. And the council dismisses them and says Admiral Xylem will be there soon. Humanity's end is at hand. But as we've seen throughout Alexander Dorian's appearances, he seems to have an affinity for Earth and humans. So he says to himself, not yet. And then he gets up, approaches Arik and says, I hope this is worth it. And he turns off the gas, basically, and whispers to Arik that he better wake up fast. And then he goes to the crate that's holding Shannara. He opens it, tells Shannara to go to Arik. And then his hand is hit with a shuriken. And Ninjak's like, I wonder if I'll get a bonus for handing over a traitor. And we see the armor head toward Dorian and him say, no, not me, him. And it does then wrap itself around Arik. And Arik's first response as he gets up off the table is to tell Ninjak, you should have killed me when you had the chance. And Ninjak says, I was thinking the same thing. And Arik's pleased that this time they're going to have a face-to-face fight. So they start fighting in the jet, which, as you can imagine, isn't the best place to be swinging flaming swords and katanas around. Arik fires off one of his gauntlet blasters and basically blows off the front of the jet. So Arik is closing in on Ninjak, telling him there's no trees or forest, no place to retreat. And Arik says, I'm not retreating, maneuvering. And he blows the cargo bay and manages to escape on top of a crate that has a couple parachutes. Arik is still firing at him, saying you will not escape so easily, about to fly after him. And Dorian's like, wait, I just saved your life. You got to take me with you. And Arik's like, I don't want to help you, foul beast. I owe a debt to your kind. I'll see it paid in blood. And Dorian says, but you don't understand. You need me. There's an invasion coming. Billions will die. So Arik decides he better find out what's going on, and he grabs Dorian, and they leave the jet as it starts to explode and crash into the ground. Meanwhile, Ninjak's made it to the rooftop safely. They're somewhere in Georgetown, capital of Guana. And Arik finds a deserted house, throws Dorian through the door, and says, I spared your life. Prove your worth. And Dorian's like, there's no need for threats. I'm on your side. I have to be. Once the Vine learn what I've done, they'll no longer want me. And Arik says, well, if you're one of the creatures like you claim, then why? What makes you think that you and I could be on the same team? And Dorian says, to save our home. And Arik's like, my home's gone. It disappeared 16 centuries ago. And Dorian responds, well, the people that you know are gone, but the places you knew are still here. They're called by other names, and this is still your home. This is still Earth, and Earth will fall, and it's going to be your fault. You know, it's going to be because of you. Meanwhile, we see a Ninjak plant his katana in a rooftop, and out of the hilt, a cylinder flies up in the air, and it releases what looks to be thousands of these little floating balls, and Ninjak gives them a 50 kilometer radius, I should say, and says locate heat signature combined with presence of metal, isolate irregular compounds, and soon enough, he's able to get a 3D rendering of Alexander Dorian and Ninjak, and he zooms in, he gets audio, and he hears Dorian continue to explain why this is Arik's fault, and he basically tells him, okay, you stole the armor, you came back here, the Vine are coming because of you. So everything that's going to happen from here on out, it's your fault unless you stop it. And Arik doesn't seem to have a problem with that. He's like, if they want to fight, I'll slaughter them all, beginning with the one who hunts me. And Dorian's response is, well, yeah, you'll get your chance because there's no way Ninjak's going to give up. He's skilled and focused and relentless. And the fact that we escaped from him is only going to strengthen his resolve. There's no one more lethal, but what we need to do is reach out to him. And Arik's puzzled by that. He's like, he's thrown in with the creatures, so I'll see him pay for that choice. And Dorian's like, but don't you understand? He doesn't know what side he's on. He doesn't realize who he's working for. If we want to save humanity from the destruction you've brought down upon it, humanity's going to need you and Ninjak. And as Ninjak closes in, he's still listening to this conversation, and he's on a rooftop very close to where Exo and Dorian are, and we get the message to be continued. So I loved this issue. It was nonstop action from cover to cover. It was nice to see the little seeds that were planted, no pun intended, the little seeds that were planted with Dorian right from the start when we first met him. We kind of got this feeling that he wasn't completely on board with what the Vine were planning. And it really seems to be he just kind of loves Earth. Like, he loves the power and the position and the privilege he has. And he probably feels like if he goes back to Loam, being that he was on Earth for so long, he's not going to be in a position of power. He's probably going to be somewhat of a second-class citizen, having lived as a human so long. So he doesn't seem to be in any hurry to leave Earth, like, so much so that he's willing to betray his own people. So that's, you know, that's pretty interesting. And I do like him as a character, although you always have to wonder if he turned traitor on, you know, one ally, what's to stop him from doing it again, right? Like, can he be trusted? That's a thing that's always going to be in the back of your mind when seeing him do things, if he ever gets the opportunity, right? Does he really care to make sure that humans and the Earth are not destroyed? Or is it really just out of selfish reasons, right? Like, again, he's somebody important here back on Loam that might not necessarily be the case. Another thing I loved about the issue was, and it's not as much this way anymore with Ninjak, but early on in his reappearance with Valiant, he was really heavily reliant on gadgets, but they were really cool gadgets. Like, the fact that it just shoots out these cloud of, like, mini marbles that are basically drones, and then they're able to track things, and they have cameras on them and ability to pick up audio, and it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, you're creating these composite images because you've literally got hundreds of little drone cameras flying around. So that was really cool too, as was Ninjak's jet. But he didn't really seem to be much of a match for Arik in the ship when they fought, but that probably had more to do with the environment. You know, it was pretty tough, pretty small quarters for Ninjak to operate. And just like we saw the way he defeated Arik last issue, he's more one to rely on stealth rather than brute force. It's definitely brains over brawn, whereas for Exo at this point, you could definitely say brawn over brains. So as I said, a really incredible issue. Looking forward to talking about issue 7 when we can see if Alexander Dorian is able to convince Exo to have Ninjak join them in fighting against the Vine. It's also interesting what the Vine's motivation is for still wanting to destroy Earth. From what we've seen of them being a pretty closed-minded race, it makes complete sense that despite what they know at the time to be a wildly successful mission by Alexander Dorian of capturing both the Exo Manowar armor, Shannara, and Arik himself, they're like, nope, we still need to destroy Earth. Even if it doesn't really make that much sense. Oh, they've seen the armor. Yeah, but they don't know what the armor is, and they certainly don't link it to some alien race called the Vine. Their argument doesn't really hold water, but it's clear they're just petty, and they just want to destroy the Earth because that's where Arik's from, and Arik dared to defy them. So I know what's coming up. I remember what's coming up as far as the religious connotations go. for what the Vine believe, and having seen the armor bond with a human causes some issues of maybe crisis of faith, you could call it, which I thought was pretty interesting on Venditti's part. But man, he sure did a great job making the Vine completely unlikable. No redeeming qualities, just super annoying. Just can't stand them. I don't think they're logical creatures. I don't think they're particularly intelligent. They seem to have a cunning about them, so to speak. But yeah, they're just really, really, really annoying. I'm glad they eventually get what's coming to them in a way. So trying to think if there's... I wanted to talk about the art. So Lee Garbett continuing his pencil work on this issue. And I love the panel layouts. They really stood out to me in this issue. A lot of insets. And particularly the scene with the hilt of Ninjak's sword opening up. And then launching all those little drones, mini drone balls in the air. I thought was expertly done. Just beautiful page. The scenes where Dorian is communicating, got to give with the other Vine, got to give props to Moose Bauman for basically putting like a blue filter over all the pages when he does that. And also the dialogue boxes turned to this very dark, almost charcoal gray to kind of differentiate. So probably the best part about the art, though, is the transitions from panel to panel and just the very smooth, fluid storytelling style, visual storytelling style that that Lee Garbett has. It's just really spectacular. I also wanted to mention the cover, and you know, like all Valiant Comics, it had several covers, but specifically, I'm talking about the main cover, which is by Doug Braithwaite and Patrick Zercher, which is just a scene of Ninjak and Exo fighting, and man. It is a great, great looking cover. So, so this wraps up the first arc of Exo Manowar, or maybe one more, maybe issue 7 wraps it up. I can't remember for sure. So I'll have to take a look at the chronology to see if I'm going to cover Exo 7 or if I'm going to move over to Harbinger or Bloodshot. Cause I'm basically going to cover the first volume of Exo, and then probably the first volume of Harbinger, and then the first volume of Bloodshot, and then I'll decide where I'm going to go from there. So again, if you're not familiar with Valiant, they relaunched in 2012 with characters that had originally been around in the 90s, and this chronology is just a way, if you're newer to the publisher and you haven't read a lot of the older stuff from the relaunch, I definitely recommend it. You can go and order them from Amazon or in stock trades or find them on eBay. Really, the best thing to do is to go to a convention if you're looking to get volume ones, because Valiant usually runs that deal at conventions. First of all, their volume one trade paperbacks are usually $9.99. I think they're always $9.99 instead of $14.99 or $19.99. And then at shows, what they usually do is they usually do a buy three, get two free. So at $10 a piece, if you're buying three and getting two free, that's $30. So $30 for five trades, you know, that's $6 a trade, which, you know, if a trade has six issues, that's $1 an issue for these amazing stories. So there's no way to really beat that. So definitely the best way to pick up Valiant stuff is to go to a show, and again, you know, just pick out five volume ones. You know, you can get Exo one, you can get Bloodshot one, Harbinger one, and then the other just kind of depends on your taste. Some people might want to go Eternal Warrior, some people might want to go Quantum and Woody, Unity, the Valiant. There's a lot to choose from. Definitely, Shadow Man's another good one. So, if at all possible, that's the way I recommend getting started with the Valiant titles. But again, I know not everybody has the opportunity to go to shows. So there are plenty of other avenues out there. Valiant does Humble Bundles once in a while, where you can pick stuff up really cheap digitally. So that's a great way to get it at a real affordable price as well. So Regardless, there's good stuff out there, especially this early stuff. It's super high quality. It's super compelling. And again, I love the fact that it was Venditti bringing back Ninjak, and I love his take on Ninjak, how focused he is. You know, he really gets down to business, doesn't mess around. And we'll see as the story continues, you know, once he discovers what's going on, it doesn't take him too long to alter his plans. So very practical as well, which I suppose you have to be when you're kind of a one-man show. All right. Well, once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. All past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow our convention coverage. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.